Tonight, we celebrate this incredible moment, and a moment that is also beyond time and space, the birth of Jesus Christ. Dave Meyer, who is a vestry member, a longtime member of Calvary, is also a retired professor of geology at University of Cincinnati. One of the things that Dave loves about coming to worship at Calvary Church is that he sits among the stones of the church building, bedrock of the Ohio River Valley. He shared with me what a powerful experience it is to know that these stones have reminders in them of life on Earth 440 million years ago. It's what's known as deep time. As Dave relates, deep time is a very challenging concept to understand as it covers Earth's history so far back, long before humans were around, long before the dinosaurs roamed, when this area was covered by a shallow sea teeming with life such as trilobites, now extinct, but also groups like mollusks, corals, sponges that have now living forms. Glacial meltwater started to expose this millions of years old stone 12,000 years ago. And here we sit amid the stones today. It's pretty incredible to think about the long, slow work of God. Just a few weeks ago, we gathered in the church for what is known as a Blue Christmas service. And in the discipleship center, we shared in food and fellowship afterwards. And amid ordinary conversation, I heard someone exclaim, looking at their phone, "This is going to change the world." Looking at this news, it had just been reported that there has been a breakthrough in the last weeks in something called fusion technology. Scientists discovered after decades of work that they had successfully caused a fusion reaction that generated power, more power than the experiment consumed, with the potential to revolutionize clean energy. Eureka! I was consumed with excitement about what this could mean for me, for my children, my grandchildren, as we face a rising global climate. But then there was fine print. It will take decades more to reach the goal of a revolution in clean energy using fusion technology. Reverend Olivia shared with me an article this past week in The Atlantic that was all about the smallpox disease, how the disease began to kill people over 10,000 years ago. And for centuries, people have been experimenting, people experimented by inserting small pustules of the disease under the skin of healthy people to protect them from the disease. And the success rate of this experiment was relatively terrible because it killed about 1 in 50 people. I guess it saved 49 in 50 people. Edward Jenner was the first person to inoculate the first child, James Fitz, for smallpox in 1796. At that time, there were 1 billion people in the world, and only one person had been inoculated. It was a moment of invention, a eureka moment, but it was not a moment of progress. It was a 0-to-1 moment. Only one person had received this life-saving cure. It's the 1 in 1 billion moment that makes an invention truly remarkable, making the technology readily available, spreading it widely, and making its distribution fair, equitable, and safe, that's what made it possible to eradicate smallpox. And it happened 184 years after the first inoculation. On May 8th, 1980, smallpox was eradicated worldwide. And that was an innovation 10,000 years in the making. The miraculous work of God is in progress. And like the smallpox vaccine, like the fusion discovery, like the bedrock emerging after millions of years, the miracles are unfolding both in our midst and by our participation in them, and well beyond any of our lifetimes. This Christmas, we celebrate a moment 2,000 years ago when God chose to make love manifest in human flesh. In today's American cultural perspective, this was the Eureka moment. The moment when God took on vulnerable flesh. The moment God revealed to us the essence of salvation. The moment God changed the world. Incredible things happened when Jesus was born. Angels' light shone. Poor shepherds managed to gather. Kings from very far away somehow found this baby after hundreds of miles of following a star. Young teen Mary sang a song of hope. Old faithful Joseph raised a child, not his own. The reality is, it wasn't for another 30 years after that Eureka moment that this Jesus was baptized, went into the wilderness, and finally emerged to begin his ministry. It wasn't for 33 years that Earth realized the weight of Jesus' love that it seemingly couldn't bear to hold. And then it wasn't for another 50 or 60 years that the people of God started to formally write down the Gospels and publish abroad the story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And still today, over 2,000 years later, we are working out the long, slow, miraculous work of God. Many of us come today simply expecting to laud that historic Eureka moment over 2,000 years ago. And if we see it only that way, we're bound to come up flat. Just like if Edward Jenner, the smallpox doctor, had inoculated just the one boy and said, "Eureka," and stopped there. Just like if the scientists who discovered fusion technology had a big celebration and then the world ceased to progress, the big discovery into a future reality that could, in fact, save humanity. I go to a place with my children who are 5 and 8 years old called Happen Inc. It's in Northside. It's a nonprofit community creative center. And up front, there's this place called the Reading Window. And if my girls read 10 books in 10 separate visits, they get a free milkshake. And so there's a book I've read multiple times in the Reading Window called The Secret Subway. It's about a man named Alfred Eli Beach. In the 1860s, around when this church was just becoming a parish, Alfred had a Eureka moment as he daily experienced New York City traffic, bypassing some political pushback, he covertly invented what was called the beach pneumatic transit. It was essentially a tube underground that he modeled after the mail tubes that would shoot air. Do you remember, anybody have seen those before? Yeah, maybe I'm showing my age. But it was essentially a big one of those underground that could transport passengers. It was about 380 feet long. Beach revealed the miraculous invention to some acclaim. He set up an aquarium and a grand piano in this mass transit tube. But then there were some business owners there who feared that the transportation underground would take away business from them. Homeowners and landlords feared the stability of their foundations. And eventually the tube was sealed off underground and was forgotten only after 3 years on display. When the Interborough Rapid Transit Company began construction in 1912, 52 years later, on the first subway in New York City, Beach's original station was discovered. They ran into it, saw it, recognized it, then destroyed it, and kept building. And Beach had fallen ill back in the 1890s and is not credited with the conception nor the invention of the largest public transit system in the world. But here's the thing. The idea for the subway system continued to persist and eventually became manifest and widely known. The idea for the smallpox inoculation was at a moment born. The potential for fusion technology has emerged, and the hope of salvation of humankind in Jesus Christ continues to be made manifest. Amid all around us that might signal our demise, all around us also is hope. Amid all around us that might bring us despair, all around us too is the potential for great joy. As we remember tonight the Eureka moment that was the birth of Jesus Christ, may we not forget the years, the decades, the millennia of advancing the message of that birth that followed. May we not forget the people who carried the message through dangerous places and through treacherous times, that we might gather together this evening in comfort and joy. That hymn, "God Rest You, Merry Gentlemen," it's been my Christmas earworm. I guess it was my Advent earworm, now the Christmas earworm. And it's been guiding me these past weeks. God rest ye, merry gentlemen, gentle folk. Let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. O tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. O tidings of comfort and joy. May the love of God that came down at Christmas continue to reveal the hope of generations to come. And may we continue to persist in the joyful unfolding of God's presence in our midst. Amen.